Welcome. This is your host, Michael J. Long. It's 8:42 p.m. on February the 11th of 2021. And thank you for joining me. I appreciate it. Well, taxes. So I have to admit, I gotta do more research on the fair tax and try to research as much as I possibly can on it to get more of the facts. From what I do understand about it, from the little that I do know about it, and I don't know a whole lot about it in script-by-script detail, but it's supposed to be revenue neutral. And I guess it doesn't have a corporate income tax. So if you got rid of the actual income tax and replaced it with the fair tax, there wouldn't be any corporate taxes. Now, the left claims that the corporate income taxes is where we make the most amount of money. At the federal level, at the state level, and whatnot. I actually kind of disagree with that just because you have the Federal Reserve. And in my view, I think it's government run. But then Wikipedia says it's private, so I don't know how much you can trust that, in the sense that the president appoints whoever it is that runs the Federal Reserve chair. So he or she appoints, in most cases, it's usually he. I don't think we've ever had a female president as of yet, but so whoever the president is basically appoints the Federal Reserve chair to run the Federal Reserve. I don't see how that's private, but okay, whatever. But the bottom line is, whether it's private or government run, they're still making money. They're still printing free money for the government, which of course causes inflation, causes the downturn in the economy and all that. I think that's where the federal government gets all of its money from, on top of whatever little taxes they get from the citizens to, contribute debt with ones that they use to pay for it. And so basically, I don't think you need to have Federal Reserves. And I think with the fair tax, Congress could be that agency that can run the fair tax. You could use Congress as the actual agency that manages the fair tax, in the sense that, you have to have some type of government agency to manage it. It might as well be Congress. That's their job, after all, aside from passing or declining bills. That's also one of the other features they have, one of the powers they have under the U.S. Constitution, to collect and levy taxes. Bet you didn't know that, but yeah. No, it's in the Constitution, so. So you could use Congress instead of the Internal Revenue Service. All right, so here's what the liberals are claiming. They're claiming without the corporate income tax, they wouldn't make as much money. But if we raise the corporate income tax, right, what are they going to do? They're going to find ways to cheat the tax code because it's too much of it. Or they're going to find some kind of loophole in the tax hole and the tax increases to say, oh, well, we just went on vacation, or we did this and we did that, so So we're technically tax exempt because we went on this cruise or we did this and we were out of the country for X amount of time or whatever. They'll find ways to manipulate that. And so, yeah, I don't think corporate income tax, if that's where the federal government thinks it's getting, if that's where the left thinks the feds get most of their money from, is all that effective in the sense that if you really look at it from the perspective of the, or, well, from the grand scheme of things, they really actually don't make much from the corporate income tax because they get very little from the wealthy. And then they use the same argument that the rich don't pay their fair share of, you know, taxes. Well, because, you know, but if you think about it, you know, who makes most of the jobs for the middle class and the poor? So that the poor can become middle class, whatever. It's usually the wealthy, the rich. Those are the people that are the entrepreneurs. Unless there's the, and really the only rich people that pissed away their money would be the celebrities, right? But that's not even most of the rich. Most of the rich are entrepreneurs, investors, economists, etc. That's about a good portion of your wealthy, especially in this country. So most of them, they actually make jobs, right? This thing called jobs that now they have to pay all these taxes in is kind of ridiculous. So I do think we need to have a tax system replacement. But basically, my research, what little research I have gathered from the fair taxes is that it's supposed to be revenue neutral, right? The other argument the left makes is that the only way it'll work is if you make cuts. All right, well, that's easy. Get rid of the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the TSA, Homeland Security, Department of Labor at the federal level, not the state level, at the federal level. And it'll be up to the states at that point to hand out unemployment, which they pretty much do anyways. And whatever money we have left over, we can contribute towards that if, you know, if we feel we need to and we have the money. Obviously, the idea is to live within your means, right? So I don't think we need to have a Department of Labor at the federal level, or at least I don't think that'll really do anything to get rid of the unemployment program, which I'm all in favor of keeping along with Social Security. But, you know, all these other government agencies that I'm talking about, with the exception of unemployment, which I believe is managed by all the state governments and their Department of Labor at the state level, right? So if you got rid of the Department of Labor at the federal level, that would not impact unemployment at the state level, and especially if a particular state chooses to retain the Department of Labor within the realms of their government. They're free to do so. So you would just be getting rid of the federal Department of Labor. And I think the other thing we should get rid of is the Department of Education at the federal level. Let's get rid of the Department of Education, Energy, Housing, and Urban Development and be managed by the states. So if they want to have a Housing and Urban Development agency, they're more than welcome to envelop it within the realms of their state constitutions or whatever. So like a state like New York or Texas, if they say, oh, we're going to have Department of Housing and Urban Development at the state level, then, you know, I mean, we could probably, but there's, look, I can provide so many examples of federal government agencies to get rid of. So even if we don't get, let's say we don't get rid of, or we decide not to get rid of the Department of Housing and Urban Development for whatever reason, mainly for the housing program, which can be managed either by Congress or with the or at the state level with an entire different state agency within the whole realms of the state governments. And I think they pretty much manage housing anyways. So I don't think getting rid of the Department of Housing and Urban Development would get rid of the housing program altogether for people who need it. But, you know, so Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, CHIPS, you could retain. And the cuts that would be made would be more so towards, like, pretty much all the other federal government agencies that we don't need. So that encompasses the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, Homeland Security. Here I go with that again. TSA, ATF, like all the federal government, the Commerce Department, like all of the other federal government agencies that we don't need. You just simply, you get Congress pass a law to have those agencies abolished. And they ought to be abolished. And then, you know, then you cut the presidential salaries by up to 60%. The Secret Service, right? Bring the troops home from all over the world. Shut the military bases down from all these other countries. And, you know, all the countries that were involved in, shut down all the military bases except for the ones in the United States. Bring the troops home, shut down Guantanamo Bay, you know. So it's looking at the whole picture, you know, and realizing we can make a lot of cuts. And on top of that, we can distribute Social Security to those who truly need it, and that would include their medical bills for Medicaid and Medicare. Or CHIPS, if you're a child, I think in some states you get CHIPS. And I think that's even managed at the state level, if I'm not mistaken. So at the federal level, you can implement the fair tax and you can make the appropriate cuts needed for the fair tax. And plus, on top of that, you know, it's revenue neutral. It wouldn't affect the Social Security programs at any point in time. Affect that at all, but then at least you'd be like, get rid of the corporate welfare, get rid of the Commerce Department, you know. And I think at this point we could save billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars, which we could use to pay down our deficit, as much of it, or liquidate our deficit. And if we have to default on the Chinese, then we do that. Or with other countries that have loaned us money, we can default. We can default on them. Because if we don't have the money to pay them, we don't have the money to pay them. So the option is to default and file bankruptcy with the international courts. And they can liquidate. We can then liquidate our deficit and save us billions of dollars, which we can use to create a pool of money to open up free trade talks. We can make things right with China in terms of opening free trade with them and with the rest of the world. So if we can do all that, I'm pretty sure the fair tax has a pretty good chance of surviving. And again, I got to do more research to it, to see like how it works, because I don't know how it works from detail to detail. But I do know if you need to make cuts to make it work, you can make cuts, and you can make cuts without even affecting Social Security, in the sense that there are so many other agencies and departments to cut from that we don't even need, and we can cut the bureaucratic red tape and all the nonsense that comes with it, besides the discretionary spending cuts. But I think at the same time, we also have to reduce our spending, right? So the fair tax is just one step like it'll be a step in the right direction, or yet alone any, even if you went with my original idea of the standard area tax system. But you know, at this point, I'm more than willing to give the fair tax a chance, since there's already a bit of research on it and all that. But again, I think we need to look at overhauling our tax system and having the income tax replaced with the fair tax. And I think that'll be a good first step in the right direction. And then again, you know, so for most of the seniors that are on the Social Security retirement, once they drop out of the arena, you know, then you could transition to private contributions to privately fund Social Security, Medicaid, that would include Medicaid, Medicare, and CHIPS. And again, let the free market compete with them, and I think you got pretty much a road to success. And then as the need for those government programs of Medicaid, Medicare, CHIPS decline, then we can make a decision at that point in time to abolish those programs or not. And the reason I say that is because with regards to Social Security, there's a lot of people who are disabled that depend on those programs, or that have been dependent on them since they were little kids, right? Because their parents applied for Social Security for them or whatever, because they have autism or some other kind of disability that they were born with that they couldn't help, and then they got dependent on them. That's what pays. But for most people who are on Social Security, that's what pays for your Medicab in states like New York, right? That's what pays your medical bills. They cover pretty much everything else. Like Medicare covers a portion, right? And then Medicaid covers whatever is left over. So between the two of them, your bills are paid. But now that deficit gets added to the government. But what if we kept those programs in place and we got rid of all this other outer junk we didn't need? You know, we'd be able to take on the deficit of these medical bills, you know, and find a way to pay these people through those programs without necessarily getting shut down or abolished. So, you know, and I think ultimately the free market should be allowed to compete against those programs and offer an alternative. And they should be allowed in the arena. You know, I think the idea that we're going to keep private out of the discussion is just mind-boggling. The idea that we would want to abolish private insurance, like what gives the government the authority to abolish private insurance? So someone creates a company, now the government can just shut them down when the government didn't even hire the people or didn't even get the business license. I mean, this is why I don't think we should have business licensing. But that's a topic for a whole nother day. But the point is I think the fair tax is doable, and I think making the cuts are doable if we look at everything else that we don't need. And I think even retaining Social Security on a even if it's on a temporary basis is doable. And I think allowing the free market to compete with those programs is doable. And I think we can do all of that. And we can wrap it up in one agenda, basically. We call it the libertarian agenda, because, or I should call it the minarchist agenda. It's pretty much calling for everything with the exception of what I mentioned. That's something to take a look at as well. And so I'm going to try to have a guest on, familiar guest, probably by next week. Anyways, I'm Michael J. Long, And again, thank you for joining me. I appreciate it. And I wish you all a happy Valentine's. Because, well, I wish you all a happy 11th. The 11th of 2021. How's that? All right. And take care. And good luck.